The Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. Here he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over all the nations. The sovereign Lord will destroy death forever. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes and take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. The Lord himself has spoken. When it happens, everyone will say, "He is our God. We have put our trust in him, and he has rescued us. He is the Lord. We have put our trust in him, and now we are happy and joyful because he has saved us." The word of the Lord.
On Thursday, we remembered Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. On Friday, we followed Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross, and finally to the tomb. Even his disciples thought the story was over. But we pick it up in John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus, who was dead and buried, has risen from the dead. And the natural order of things, the way the world works, has been turned upside down and inside out. Mary Magdalene is the first to experience this emotional roller coaster. She was with Jesus at the cross. She is the first to arrive at the tomb before the sun even comes up. She is the first to run for the disciples, the first to greet the risen Jesus, and the first to proclaim his resurrection. We, on the other hand, go into Friday knowing that Sunday is coming. And somehow, it still feels like a ride on the tallest roller coaster at Cedar Point. But just as the grief of Good Friday lingers, so does the joy and the thrill of this resurrection day. It still manages to catch us, to make our hearts beat just a little bit faster, 2,000 years later. Today we celebrate God's victory over sin and evil and death itself. Today, love wins, good wins, life wins. Nothing in all of creation can make that untrue. I want us to sit with that for a minute. Today, good wins, love wins, life wins. At some point, we're going to have to pick up our flowers and march back out into the world. Nearly every day, I talk with folks who are afraid. What is the world coming to? What is happening out there? Why is the news so scary all the time? What are people doing to each other? Why? With all that going on, it's tempting to curl in on ourselves, to say, not my circus, not my monkeys, to let somebody else figure it out, to take care of ourselves and our own and leave everybody else to fend for themselves. But Jesus' resurrection promises are also an invitation. As those who trust in Jesus, we are called to bring that energy, that goodness, that love, that life out of these four walls and into this terrifying, messy, and baffling world. We are called to do what Mary Magdalene did, to be confused and afraid and go and tell the story anyway. The Reverend Emily M.D. Scott is a Lutheran pastor and author of a book called For All Who Hunger, Searching for Communion in a Shattered World. In her book, she tells a story about a news article she read on the subway one day while she was a church planter in New York City. The article was about doomsday preppers, specifically ultra-wealthy doomsday preppers, like one-percenter doomsday preppers. The author went on about how more and more people are making escape plans, seeking to protect themselves from, quote, the angry, hungry mobs who might one day appear at their doors. The article describes an underground apartment complex built in a decommissioned missile silo near Wichita, Kansas. It comes with all the amenities that one might expect from a luxury apartment building: a gym, a lounge with a large stone fireplace, a pool, even medical and dental facilities. Without any windows, because it's all underground, each room is equipped with an LED screen that shows the prairie outside, or if you prefer, a forest or a cityscape. In the event that this apartment building would need to be used, however, armed guards would be standing watch outside, with orders to shoot anyone who approached. These apartments sold in 2012 for $3 million each. Reverend Scott writes, "It sounds suspiciously like a tomb." She goes on to say, "The writers of the Gospels, it occurs to me, were living in a prepper's worst nightmare. 40 years after Jesus' death, Christians had formed fragile new communities, many of which existed under the shadow of violent persecution. In Judea, tensions between the Jewish people and their Roman occupiers boiled over into revolt. By AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was taken in a violent siege in which the Jewish people were slaughtered and enslaved. The temple, God's dwelling place and the heart of Jewish life, was set on fire and fell. For Jews and Christians in the region, life was overcome with destruction. The fabric of their society hung in shreds. But the Christians who gathered in the wake of their own ruin and destruction told Jesus' story. This story of violence and execution, of missing corpses and fractured community. When everything was in tatters, they spoke of the life that comes from death. This, too, is the story we choose to tell, standing in our own ruined city. It is a story that does not offer one shred of security. But we will not hide away in fear, building walls to divide ourselves from our neighbors, hoarding what we have. We will turn and reach out toward the world, still trembling, to encounter a living God who longs for us to be one family and will not be bound by death. The world can be a scary place, even when it doesn't feel like everything is falling apart. This moment in American history feels especially unsettled and unsettling. But we carry a message that goes beyond keep calm and carry on. Just as Jesus sent Mary, so he sends us to tell the story of life that has defeated death, love that survives betrayal, joy that comes after fear and hatred, of forgiveness and hope and light. We carry not just words on a page, but the love of Christ within us. Friends, in baptism, by God's grace, we are united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. This ancient story is now our story of resurrection and renewal, of healing and hope, of sending and caring and justice and peace. Y'all, come heaven or high water, we remain Easter people, called to live in the light and the love of Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'll now invite us.